You know, we're looking, you knew that ending last season, the possibility that Jose Bautista and Edwin and Saunders, they were free agents, and how were you going to replace them in your offense? When you look back on where you were and where you are now and what you were hoping to achieve, how well do you think you did?
Well, I mean, I think it's early to answer that question, right? I mean, I think every offseason sets out a different list of challenges. When your roster is full of free agents and, you know, is a little unbalanced as far as the maturity goes and young players, it creates additional challenges. And I think ultimately, the more you can stay out of free agency, the more you can internally, you know, produce your own talent and balance players in their prime along with players breaking in and veteran players that have been there a long time, the easier it is to solve the off-season puzzle. The more you are dependent on the free agent market, the more risk that's involved. That being said, I think that Ross did and our baseball ops staff did an outstanding job of going out and trying to offset the loss of some very substantial players and in the process bringing one player back who we probably feel, even though his age, has more upside than almost any other free agent in the market.
Mark Shapiro joining us on Brady and Price, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Yeah, opening night is April 11th. You guys play the six road games before that, but you've been part of one opening night here, a lot in Cleveland. Those can contain special moments. I would assume when Jose walks to the plate, that's a pretty special moment, because even in the series against the Tribe, people did feel like they were saying goodbye to him. So these stories are great, and that'll be a great part of April 11th, won't it?
It will. I mean, I think opening day, opening night, you know, those are celebrations of baseball and all the great things. And the greatest thing are the relationship that fans have with the players. And Jose is a player that has been, you know, for a generation of Toronto baseball fans, maybe the single greatest provider of memories. So I think it'll be great to have him back. I think better than that is if you guys could see him down here. The condition, the shape he's in, the strength to his body, the explosiveness to his bat, which even we saw in the first game he played yesterday, he is, I think, positioned for a very good year.
There must have been, Mark, days in free agency and nights you'd go to bed, and an executive looks forward to moments like that, but you do dread the idea of the guy coming back in another uniform. It's part of the sport, and Edwin will do that with Cleveland, but there might have been, it's nice to avoid that moment and get this incredibly productive, popular player back.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you try to weigh all the different things, that variables that go into, you know, to a player evaluation of, you know, what he's going to be over the length of a contract, the, you know, balancing the needs of a team within a budget, which is a business reality. But, you know, the sentimentality, the appreciation for the player, especially if he's potentially could sign in your division, the desire to not have him come back and haunt you 18 to 19 times during a season, those are part of the emotional components, not necessarily the best decisions, but the emotions that we face from a front office perspective, for sure.
With Mark Shapiro, president of the Toronto Blue Jays, obviously the spring is about the future. Fans get an opportunity to see something that they may not see right away, but down the line, obviously a lot of buzz concerning first baseman Rowdy Tellez. What's the timeline, and what would he have? Now, he's never had it at bat past Double A. What would he have to do to force your hand?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you use the right word, force our hand. You know, I mean, some of that's going to be opportunity at the major league level. Do we have a need? And some of that's going to be he needs to go to the next level. He was at Double A last year. I think what's exciting about him is his age. One, he's 21 years old. And two, his performance and also his maturity. This is a guy that when you talk to him, his sense of purpose, his work ethic, his understanding of who he is as a player and what it takes to be successful. To me, having talked to players for 25 years, he's at an exceptional level of awareness for his age. And, you know, that only helps to make him more able to maximize his potential and maximize his talent. He also obviously has a very productive bat at a corner position. So he's an exciting guy. Anthony Alford has had a very good spring. He is an explosive athlete. We don't have enough guys as athletic as him in the game, period, let alone in the Blue Jay organization. Connor Green had a tough outing yesterday, but he hit 100 on the radar gun. So we've got some really promising guys coming, and I've spent a lot of time down in minor league early camp to see, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette and Josh Palacios, J.B. Woodman, you know, our draft guys from last year mix in with some of the existing prospects. That's been extremely encouraging as well.
Mark Shapiro, our guest. It is that tricky, I suppose, vicious circle thing where fans really want to see prospects and they get excited and they'll take their trips to Buffalo to see guys, but you don't want to. There's an exposure issue, isn't there? You've done this a long time, and it's risky when a guy comes up and he's pressing and he wants to impress, and he's almost, it's a tough sport to try and do too much in. But prospects are the guys that are probably going to try and press too much, or a starting pitcher in that scenario too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great observation. I think ultimately part of our job in player development is to provide players with a foundation so that when they get to the big leagues, their transition can be as smooth as possible. And ultimately, we want to prepare them to remain in the big leagues. And that really involves developing the total player, not just the physical tools and the fundamental tools, but also the mental tools to be able to handle adversity and failure. It's a tough sport, maybe not in the physical sense that hockey is, but certainly in the grind that 162 games and 183 days, the amount of feedback and performance measurements they get on a daily basis. If you ride the roller coaster up and down, it's going to ultimately limit your potential. If you tie your self-esteem too much to your performance, it's going to limit your potential. So understanding how to deal with adversity, challenges, setbacks, taking a growth mindset of focusing on improvement on a daily basis and where the opportunities are to control what you can control. You know, those are things that players learn as they mature. And I think championship cultures, you know, provide that feedback to the players on a daily basis, mostly from their teammates and somewhat from coaches and other subject matter experts around the team.
It's good to see Joe Biagini out there yesterday working on a changeup, adding another pitch. I mean, the more pitches you have, the closer you get to being a starter, which he probably wants to be, but there's no room for that. So where did we go from him being stretched out to where are we with Joe Biagini?
Well, I mean, I think yesterday was an encouraging outing because it was a guy who a year ago was scrambling to make a major league team, and yesterday was kind of playing with major league hitters. I mean, he threw 50% changeups, was working on his changeup whenever he needed to. He could dig back, go to his stuff, and just beat people. That was pretty impressive for me to see because he was able to work in a major league setting on developing a pitch. So I think Ross's and Gibby have kind of said it most clearly that we're, you know, maintaining our options. We're an injury away from needing a sixth starter. Who that is, whether it's, you know, some of the guys we brought in as non-roster invites or whether Joe represents our best alternative, and if he is an alternative, what the impact is in the bullpen, that's a continual line of discussion. There will be a point in spring training when we start to get short on innings and we have to make decisions on, you know, how to condition guys and prepare for the season. We are in an extra long spring training because of the WBC. We are nowhere near that point, particularly with two split squads, you know, in the first week, which we had yesterday and another one coming up.
It was real cool watching him yesterday. I was thinking because he's working on the changeup, and there was a point where he's got a batter and he's maybe coming back with a changeup, and I'm thinking, no, throw that fastball, because now, after seeing the changeup, that fastball's got another mile or two on it.
Absolutely. Change of speed, you know, the ability to exploit location up, down, in, out. Ultimately, you know, the best pitch is a fastball well located. And he was able to, you know, I think mix up timing. You know, you want to disrupt the hitter's timing. He did that extremely well yesterday.
Let me, Mark Shapiro joining us on, of course, Brady and Price on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. A couple about the renovations to the Rogers Center. I'm curious to get your read on the reaction to it. People are excited. I know a few people in Cleveland, Mark, and they can't say enough about how the Jake, now Progressive Field, improved. Even though it was brand spanking new, it, as you know, once you get into 15, 20 years of a ballpark, you got to do things. I'd ask if the reaction generally generally good, or there are still people, and you know the excitement going from Municipal Stadium to Jacobs Field, there might be people like me who want improvements, who want to go as often as they can, take their kids, but you know where I'm going. In they do see a day when there is a brand new ballpark here. Every city feels that way when a park gets to be 2025. Are you of both minds that you want to make it great for the years to come, but maybe in your mind there is still that opportunity someday that we watch baseball in Toronto somewhere else?
Yeah, I went through that evolution as a kid growing up in Baltimore from, you know, thinking how could it be better than Memorial Stadium? And then, you know, you look at Camden Yards, which is a crown jewel in the game. So, listen, I think, you know, you have to ask yourself those questions. What's the benefit of starting from scratch and building a new stadium, a new ballpark? You know, are the bones, are the infrastructure strong enough to handle the next, you know, 20, 25, 30 years? And I think as we looked at our stadium, looked at the strength of the infrastructure, which is surprisingly very good, looked at the location within the city, which I think as the city has grown right around it, and an entertainment zone has really just sprouted down in that area, we just felt like our location and the infrastructure, you know, provided us a clear answer that we need to consider what I would call a re-envisioning rather than a renovation of Rogers Center. And so, you know, we've thought about how do you take a stadium that's very symmetrical, that is somewhat sterile and built for a different generation of watching games with standard definition television being the alternative, into a modern fan experience that provides a different experience for different fans? And ultimately, I think the line that, you know, we've kind of fixated on is how do we make a stadium a ballpark? And you guys know exactly what that means. And, you know, the best thing I can tell you is we're relying a lot upon our fans' feedback, understanding who our fans are and what they want, differentiating from different groups of our fans that provide different groups, different experiences. Ultimately, all the while understanding that winning is the single biggest lever, but that we also need to provide a state-of-the-art fan experience for some of the best fans in all of professional sports.
Totally, totally. Quickie answer on grass. I feel like it's not going to happen. I feel like it's a non-starter. And I think people like you being honest about the practicality of it. Do you get that sense that that's the feedback from fans, that they want a straight answer? And if it doesn't work in Rogers Center, they don't want anybody telling them it might work, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more conscious now than I was when I walked in what the history is and some of the things that were talked about prior to me arriving. I think we look at a kind of a long menu of alternatives as we consider the renovation, and we haven't gotten to the point of making final decisions or understanding where our budget is. The one thing we understand about grass is that it will be very expensive to retrofit the stadium with drainage and lighting and all the things that are necessary to keep grass alive from mid-March to when the roof is open for the first time sometime in May, which is 6 to 8 weeks, you know, before the roof actually gets opened. And then even with the nature of shade and lack of natural light, you know, during a season, how do we keep the grass alive without having to replace it two or three times during the season? So we're just going to look at the cost of that versus the cost of other things we can do to impact both our fans and our players and ultimately make the best decision. I'm not sure where on the, you know, the cascade of decisions that'll fall, but, you know, I promise you there will be an honest answer, and that is honestly where we are right now.